Hey, this is the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
And this is Johnny.
Johnny's a Slytherin. I'm a Ravenclaw, according to Pottermore.
And then I'm a Horned Serpent at... Well, I'm a Slytherin at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And a Horned Serpent at... I don't know how you say it. Alvomorny?
Sure.
However, you know.
I just caught...
I'm sure we'll find out in Fantastic Beasts.
That we will.
I think.
Which I'm looking forward to, but... I'm a Thunderbird just in that one.
Ron Perlman what you call it? Oh God, I can't remember what they are now.
Think, what are they?
What is Dobby?
A house elf.
An elf.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman's playing an elf.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The most recent preview, you actually hear him talking.
I haven't watched. I'm on like blackout.
Oh, you're blacking out. Dude, when.
Anyway, we are back.
Remember this that time turner thing that's in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
When they show up, Harry shows up with Ron.
Cool.
Dude.
It's the bomb.
Yeah.
Bomb.com.
Harry's wearing like this this orange vest.
Okay. All right. This is episode 64. This week we are finally talking about something that's not Star Trek.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no Star Trek mentioned moving forward now.
Oh, okay.
Although today's the 49th. We're recording on Thursday. It's the 49th anniversary of Mirror Mirror. Just FYI.
Let me just point out who brought Star Trek up first.
All right. So today, since this is the beginning of October, we're going to talk about some fun horror type stuff. Halloween-y type things.
That's better.
If
Halloween-y.
You will. And we're going to kick off with... Buffy the Slayer of Vampires.
Wait till we get to the Great Pumpkin.
The Great. Oh yeah.
A whole 45 minutes of the Great Pumpkin.
I promise we won't do that.
We probably could do it.
You know what we should do?
I've read the book that was like the making of that.
Is we should just, well, you can bring that, but we should just have it going in the background.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the thing.
I got a rock.
But before we get to Buffy, Luke Cage.
Yeah.
You finished it?
I finished it.
I think I finished it probably much quicker than you did.
Yeah.
But not by much.
I fell asleep a couple times.
Yeah. What did you think?
It was okay.
Yeah?
It's okay.
Where does it rank for you on the scales of...
Equal with Jessica Jones.
Okay.
So, bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only been four so far.
And my grading of it is like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Mike Coulter gets a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He was amazing.
They kind of wasted, and I don't know how to say his name, Mater-Ali.
Yeah.
They kind of just wasted him.
Yeah.
Like halfway through, like spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah, sorry. But if you know, it's been on for a week, and I know that most people probably have binged
it
at some point.
Good chunk of it.
Some people have watched it 2 or 3 times already.
So,
but I like him.
Yeah, he's great on House of Cards.
Well, I've liked him since the 4400.
He was great in Treme.
He was great in Predators.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I liked it a little more than you did.
Yeah.
I'm going like 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
I loved Coulter. I loved Harlem as a character.
Yeah.
And part of that is because, you know, I lived in New York and I spent some time in Harlem. You know, it's such a vibrant place.
Oh, right.
And to see the care that they gave to it was really great. I'm in love with the woman who plays Misty Knight. She is hot.
Oh, yeah. She was awesome.
She was awesome. Yeah. I loved the tease about the arm.
Yeah, where her arm gets injured.
Yeah, that was great. Rosario Dawson was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see them carrying her over through that.
Yeah.
And what it's going to become.
And then Turk from Daredevil.
Oh, yeah,
showed
up.
And
I was like, at first, I'm like, man, that guy's familiar. I'm like, where did I see him? And then he says, I'm going back to Hell's Kitchen, and I'm like,
that guy. But I was a little disappointed there weren't cameos. Like, I would have liked to have seen, like, because there was rumors that Jessica Jones was going to show up. There were rumors that Foggy Nelson was going to show up.
Right.
There was the little Easter egg where she took the phone number for the Martial Arts Academy, which will be how Iron Fist gets tied into it. I loved the music.
The music was good. Yeah.
I think of all of the shows so far, it had the best look, like just cinematically. it looked the best.
Yeah, like
because it takes place during the day.
The high definition worked on it more because it took place during the day. Yeah.
For me, it's probably right in between. Like I put Daredevil season 2 as my number one.
That's probably my favorite.
And then it's up there with Daredevil season 1 for me.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like episode 4, the origin episode.
Yeah.
Is kind of the blueprint for how they should do origins.
Well, the origin episode was really done well. The thing that I felt was like it got too preachy at times.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that they give the message like they did on Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. Like Jessica Jones, it was the violence that women have to deal with, you know,
take back the night kind of thing. Men like
Purple Man was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those guys out there. I've known guys like that. And it's like, you know, yeah, they did it, but they did it in a subtle way. And at times it felt like on Luke Cage, they were slapping you in the face, like right there on the screen. Alfre Woodard was way over the top.
I really liked her performance.
She was too over the top, especially near the end.
Well, okay. And so this is where my problem started. And David and I talked about this. And I think he actually talked about it on Collider. He and I are of the same mind. They need to adopt the 10 episode model.
Yeah.
Because this was about 3 episodes
too
long.
They stretched it too long. Yeah.
They waited too long for Diamondback. And then Diamondback was cheesy.
Yeah. But the whole, thing brother with him, thing. Yeah, yeah. The relationship thing.
And the suit, while, yes, it was in the comic, because that was essentially his costume when he first showed up.
It's the Justin Hammer suit.
It was like,
I did like that they mentioned that it was Hammer Tech.
And they did a couple times with the Hammer Tech. And the homage to Luke's 70s yellow silk shirt and everything. That was perfect.
Well, especially when he tells the story to... Mm-hmm. And it's like, you really were wearing that? And he goes, yeah.
He only used Sweet Christmas 4 times the entire time, which I think my over-under was 3.
Yeah.
So... Right there.
I liked his speech at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I'm saying. You know, as much as it was a slap in the face about, you know, race relations and that type of stuff in certain areas, when he's talking in the police station at the end, it's like that was, you know, some of the best way to say it.
Yeah.
Like calmly and subtly. Yeah. And, you know, just like, you know, we're all the same. We're all, you know, brothers and sisters in this world. And it's like, you know. At times with Alfre Woodard and, you know, her love of Harlem, it was just it's too over the top. Yeah. It's too over the top.
So there's been some backlash.
Okay.
We were talking about it. Our buddy Miguel from Seven Robots shared an article earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday. I read it today, where there were white people who are upset that there weren't more white people in the show. And it's like, I'm curious if we're going to get this same level.
So let me ask you, since you've been in Harlem.
Yeah.
There are white people that do live in Harlem.
There are.
Okay. But the main...
They're not the majority.
I was going to say the majority of Harlem is black and Hispanic.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Right.
I mean, that's history.
Yeah.
And that the Hispanic culture and the black culture is what mixed there and made that what it was.
Right. And I mean, it's this there's amazing food. There's amazing music, you know, and you know, when I say I've been there, it's not like I
lived there or anything, but you were there. I thought about it in the community,
you know, when I was looking for places to live, I ended up in Brooklyn, but I thought about it.
Well, the thing that I did like is that it acknowledged that Harlem has come back from what Harlem was during the 70s and 80s.
So you were talking about where Harlem was in the 70s and 80s.
It was a violent area. I mean, you know, that's known too.
We live in Cincinnati. We're very proud of being from Ohio and living in Cincinnati. And, you know, Newport, Kentucky, right across the Ohio River from us, if you're looking at a map. You know, it was a violent place for a long time. Over the Rhine still is. You know, it's gotten better.
Over the Rhine has gotten better. And
funny thing, Harlem Nights, the Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah,
Over the Rhine was Harlem. So, but no, it's just the whole idea that people would be upset about this, right? Because these are the same people, the same white people who were crying about the lack of diversity, you know, in the Oscars and things like that. And, you know, I'm interested to see how this will relate with Black Panther, right?
Right.
Because again, it's a thing where the, you know, in Luke Cage, the you know, one of the bad guys was the white corrupt cop.
See, I didn't think that, like, Frank Wally's character wasn't really a bad guy. Well, he was just being used to what
he was ambiguous. And
yeah, because they never gave an idea of why he did what he did.
Yeah, but then in Black Panther, Claw is going to be the white South African.
Well, right, guy, yeah.
You know, so, you know, like, I don't want people to get upset because, like, they're seeing, like, like it's a flip or something like that. It's right. No, like... This was great storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was about a community. And, like, I'm going to harken it to Ant-Man, right? Like,
yeah.
And even Iron Man 1. It was a self-contained story that paid a lot of attention to the larger picture. You know, they talked about the incident. You know, you should be doing what those fellas downtown are doing. You know, and Pops said that to Luke. You know, they talk about...
Yeah, there
about,
was the guy that was selling video of the...
Yeah, of the incident.
I'm like, can I get a copy of that?
I have it in 4K.
Yeah.
But then they had, you know, it wasn't just that, though. They had, you know, they talked about Hell's Kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
They talked about what was going on there. And,
I think
my
one issue with the Netflix part of this Marvel universe is what period of time is this taking place? Because they haven't really... They didn't acknowledge the Sokovia.
So... You know, Dave and I were talking about that, and you and I were talking about that earlier today. It's one of those things where they are going to have to definitively say, with probably the Defenders,
yeah,
this is post Civil War,
yeah,
or this is, you know, post Age of Ultron, pre Civil War, because I don't see how they can keep going without the Sokovia Accords because. They mentioned on Shield. It's actually a big part of Shield.
Yeah, it's you know, all the Inhumans are registered that wanted to be registered,
right?
And that and the ones that aren't are illegals.
Yeah, except for poor Lincoln, man, on the run. Oh wait, no, dead.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I was gonna say poor dead Lincoln.
Yeah,
but no, it's it was good. I really enjoyed it. I'm kind of tempted to go back and watch all four series. Kind of. Daredevil 1, Daredevil 2, Jessica Jones, or Daredevil 1, Jessica Jones, Daredevil 2.
Yeah.
You know, and go from there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have a definitive timeline in that show because Rosario Dawson is the definitive timeline.
Right.
Because she does talk about the ninjas.
Yep.
And that which happened in Daredevil season 2. Yeah. So
there was a guy who couldn't be, who was already dead. And, you know, she had talked about that. I loved her mom.
Yeah.
Like. You know, I mean, you know about, like, my life. Like, it would be awesome to have a mom that supportive.
Right.
You know, who loves you that much. That was, like, man. And she was, like, a parent, like, Parenthood, like, the Jason Cadams show. She was, like, that level of mom.
Okay.
You know? Like, you know, just Jason Cadams, the coach, Tammy Taylor, you know, Mrs. Coach from Friday Night Lights. You know, she was, you know, she loved her kid that much.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things where she was a fun part of it.
Yeah.
And that, so.
And all of her poor vehicles that she kept giving them over.
Yeah. Going out for coffee.
Oh, at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just the whole thing of, you know, I don't like coffee.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But I did like the how everyone called him out for being cheesy.
Well, and not just the cheesy thing. Everybody kept calling him out going, you should be charging for this.
Oh, well, and what was it? Like, I think it was episode 11 when they finally said Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where he was like, I'm not going to charge to do this. But it's like, that's what the barbershop's going to become.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, when he comes back from jail or whatever, it's going to be Heroes for Hire.
Danny Rand. And
he has to be in Iron Fist.
I hope that Misty Knight's in Iron Fist.
Well, she is. I know. I mean, according to IMDb, she is. And now you got to take that with a grain of salt lately.
Right.
But, you know, she definitely. Yeah. She needs to be into Defenders. She needs to get the cybernetic arm at some point. Yeah. You know.
That might be how you bring Tony Stark into it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to bring somebody from Avengers into that Defenders storyline.
Maybe it's not, though. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's one of the Guardians or something.
Well, it would be cool if they brought, like, Cap in and it's after Civil War.
Yeah.
And, like, he just shows up for an episode and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
And do what you're doing, you know, because he would be the type that would come in and tell him, do what you're doing and just keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Nomad.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Buffy.
All right.
So, I did not watch as much Buffy as I said I was going to watch. I did watch a little bit when I was teasing you and I said I didn't. But I have been for the last couple years saying that I didn't feel like Buffy held up.
How do you feel?
I think season two storytelling wise holds up really well.
I was gonna say story wise it holds up.
It's the clothes and the language.
The
'90s
kind
of stuff.
Really
it's
like
so
vibrant throughout there.
Now when you get to season five,
yeah.
So before going in, right, I would have always said season two was my favorite season.
Okay.
Season five is absolutely my favorite
and
season.
That's the glory.
That's glory.
Yeah.
The key season. Yeah. And then, but if you look at the season of like, you know, the stuff I liked also, like maybe that I liked like parts of the best,
yeah,
is season four. I liked the whole idea of the initiative.
Oh, yeah. The initiative,
you know,
Adam.
And I think it kind of went a weird way.
I usually go by seasons by who the villain
yeah.
of the
yeah,
season
Yeah. Adam was the overall villain. I liked
probably
Adam.
My favorite villain.
Yeah. You know, the part demon, part human, part cyborg.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. And I'm jumping way ahead. I still 100% contend if the gift is the last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
It is people like not like the super Joss Whedon fanboys and girls, just regular people. Still talk about
like
how great this show was.
It would be a top 10 TV show yeah. type thing.
It would be on kind every list.
Like the finale would be kind of up there with MASH type. Maybe.
As far as
yeah.
good finales
yeah.
go. Not the viewership because, I mean,
right.
nobody
viewership
watched UPN.
Wise, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things. But so if you're not familiar with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Was this
Slayer,
CW?
No, it was never CW.
Or not CW.
It was
WB. WB.
And then it was UPN, and then it was, I think, it was WB when it concluded
and
in
UPN,
2013.
UPN the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it launched in 97. And just, I want to break down, like, the people who produced, like, the executive producers of the mm-hmm. show. So you have Joss Whedon. Everyone knows who he is. Jane Espenson. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to say. Who's done a ton of stuff. She did some great stuff on BSG.
Yeah.
You have David Fury,
mm-hmm.
who went on and did Angel.
Right.
You know, and some other stuff. David Greenwalt, who also did Angel, who's currently doing Grimm, which is about to start its last season.
Okay.
Doug Petrie. Who was a fantastic producer, and he's done a bunch of other
yeah.
stuff, you know, and then you have Marty Nixon, who she was great and kind of fell off the face of the earth. I haven't seen her name in a long time.
Yeah, I don't think she's done anything in a while.
And then you had David Solomon. So
yeah.
who again, like, I mean, as far as like a production team goes of like people stewarding the ship, these people like who are all, you know, uber storytellers, right?
Yeah.
They cut their teeth at a time on a show that really probably shouldn't have gone past a first season.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they were lucky to get past the pilot because they had Eric Balfour, show killer, on there. So.
Oh, yeah. He was the other friend, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was the one that got turned into a vampire.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, no, have you ever seen the original pilot?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really bad. It was half hour and they tried to make it funny.
I think it was a full hour, but
no,
they had a different Willow. And
they had a different Willow.
Really.
Yeah. Well, they had zero chemistry with her.
Yeah.
So, but no.
Oh, Marty Noxon worked on Mad Men and Glee.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Recently. I've seen her on something else here that she was a writer on.
Yeah.
Glee.
Anyway, yeah.
Fright Night.
Oh, okay.
Wrote the screenplay for the Fright Night remake.
Yeah, the David Tennant one.
I Am Number Four.
Oh, I didn't realize she did that.
Yeah.
That's an underrated movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, so looking back, yes, I am going to step back from my comment and say it does hold up.
Okay.
Overall, but it is very, very dated. It's like when you go watch like the original 90210.
Well, right. You yeah. know? Data wise, what you in your head were mm-hmm. thinking was that it's all data, but story wise, those stories could be told now and it
yeah.
still would be. You just change some of the words and some of the actions.
Right.
Because floppy disks don't really exist
no.
anymore. Instead of using books, they would be using the internet.
Yeah, they would have. Well, they use the internet.
Was,
there was the episode where she used
the
internet with the demon.
Is like the the amount of books that were used for research, and I'm like, man, that would all just be on one Google app.
It's
now.
All on their Kindle. It's on their phone. So,
which would be fun to go back and see, like them, do a modern story with Buffy. And
they do in the comics. The comics have kind of where Xander's Nick Fury.
But the comics are still like behind if they're following the season suit because
they've jumped ahead. Yeah. I mean, there's been time jumps, but I don't know. The whole idea of the Slayers was cool. I love the movie with Christy Swanson.
Yeah,
it was so cheesy.
I think that's why I watched this was because I liked the movie.
So I remember UPN was hard to come by around here for a long time.
Yeah.
And
by the time that Buffy came on, it wasn't, though.
Whichever cable we had out this way, we didn't really get UPN, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember I had done something where I was testing sports drinks and that kind of stuff. And I ended up with $200 worth of Amazon gift cards.
Oh, wow.
And they were all about to expire. So I went through and I got seasons 1 and 2 of Buffy. I ended up getting Twin Peaks on DVD.
Sure.
I just splurged on DVDs, right? And I sat down and I watched season 1 of Buffy, which was only 12 episodes or 13, whatever.
Yeah. Something like that.
Hold on,
So 2-hour premiere and then,
And I liked it enough. I watched season 2 and fell in love with the show.
Yeah.
And then
season 2 has a lot of strength to it in the fact that, things happen.
Well,
season 1 was just, we'll see if this works.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Well,
they
introduced Angel in season 1, and we knew what he, we eventually know he's a vampire. It takes a while.
We know he's a vampire pretty much from the beginning, but Buffy finds out midway through the first season.
And they handled that great.
Yeah.
That was the best part, that relationship. In season 2, we learn a lot more and we get probably my favorite character, Spike.
Yeah. Because it was way that Joss and the team set it up was a villain of the season type show. I think it hadn't really been done up to this point.
No, there had never been but this was the first show to really embrace the season long arc.
Right. Yeah. Do some stories in there that were just episodes. But then there was the, major story, which the first season was the master getting out of opening the Hellmouth and getting out. And that one was pretty good. And I thought that Mark Metcalf played the master from the Animal House.
Yep.
He plays Niedermeyer in the Animal House movie.
He was killed by his own soldiers.
Exactly. And then the second season, they introduced Spike and Drusilla and they have a relation with Angel because Angel made one of them.
He made Drusilla.
Yeah. And then she made
Spike.
Yeah.
So he's his grandson.
Right. And so they ran together for a long time until Angel was cursed with a soul.
I'm having a brain fart. Who was the other one that ran with them?
Darla.
Darla. Thank you. Yeah.
Julie Benz.
Yeah. Julie Benz.
Yep.
Darla
created Angel. Angel created Drusilla. Drusilla created Spike.
And Drusilla was crazy, which was great.
Right. She, the way that they had wrote her character, and you find out in her slightly origin story during the second season, was that she, when she was human, she had visions. And, it's during that period of time when visions weren't good to have, religious-wise and that. And Angel became fascinated with her and decided to turn her.
Yep.
Well, when he turned her, she totally went off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was damaged goods.
Slightly.
Just say it. Yeah.
But nicely. Spike loved her.
Spike loved her, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Spike loved her and took care of her, and she took care of him when he became damaged and she was more normal.
Yeah.
Even though she was still crazy as hell.
Now
the cool thing that happens in season 2, at the end of the first season, when Buffy fights the master, she dies.
Yeah.
So when a Slayer dies, a new one is activated.
Right. But she was brought back because Xander gave her CPR.
Xander revives her, but because she was dead long enough, a new Slayer comes to town during season 2.
Yeah, and it's Kendra.
Yeah, Kendra.
Was she from Jamaica? Jamaica, okay.
Yeah, she was Jamaican.
She was hot.
Yeah.
I remember.
Bianca Lawson.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, she's headstrong. she doesn't know as much as Buffy does.
Right. Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways she's not as strong as Buffy is, not physically, just mentally.
I think it's just the training of Slayers is different.
Yeah.
And that, and Buffy being, you know, that she was already an alpha female was like one of those things where I think it helped with her training. And you see some of that, you know, they did cross the movie over into the TV series
just a bit. Yeah.
A bit. So you got a little bit of that. Yeah. The movie actually did happen because they always talked about her burning down a school.
Right.
And that, and then in the season two finale, you actually see flashbacks of Angel watching her being trained by Merrick,
right,
her original watcher, and that, so that's cool. The idea that Kendra comes in and doesn't really know too much about slaying, and her watcher isn't really like Giles is with Buffy.
Giles develops a very paternal
paternal
relationship with Buffy, and Kendra doesn't get that, and you know, Giles helps her where he can, but it's still like unprecedented to have the two.
I think Kendra just comes to town to see what Buffy is.
Yeah.
And that, and then goes back to be trained more, and then comes back in the season finale and pretty much
gets it.
Dies.
Now, season two has my favorite episode of the entire series.
Okay. Though,
and it's the one called Passion. And it's, again, this is over 20 years old at this point. So, spoilers.
Yeah.
It's where Angel kills Jenny.
Right.
Because he's lost his soul.
Right. Yeah.
So he was cursed. He was a vampire that was cursed by a gypsy to have a soul.
So he regrets everything he did for 100 years. Yeah, and then eventually the way the curse works is that if he has one moment of happiness, he loses
true happiness.
Yeah, he loses his soul again.
Right.
And him and Buffy, you know,
ticka ticka wow wow.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's very mature. Very mature. they have sex and he's happy and he wakes up and doesn't have a soul.
It's a great scene too when he wakes up, because like she wakes up and like he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll see you later. And
he pretty much walks out on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his David Boreanaz as Angelus, which was the name of the vampire without the soul, is, you know, you want to talk about a great villain.
Well, and I read somewhere in the trivia when I was looking stuff up for this that there's a season one episode called Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And when Joss, I guess, watched what they were doing in that episode, that's when he decided that there needed to be an Angel TV series.
Yeah.
He decided it with that episode. And it's like, you didn't even get to season two yet.
Yeah.
You didn't see like how far David Boreanaz could take it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause man, he plays a bad guy really good.
I mean, it was like, oh, he was so good. And he was cerebral.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, again, new for network TV to have that kind of a villain. Like, you know, you liken it to the dude from The Following with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah,
you know, that guy was a really cerebral villain. Some of the villains that Jack Bauer faced on 24.
Well, it was that whole thing of, you know, them loving each other.
Yeah.
Him being in her head already and then turning on her. And it's just like, you know, it's like if you were in a relationship and all of a sudden the person decided they didn't like you anymore, but they're still in your head because you love them.
And the best part is she does the high school girl thing. Where she's like, I can change him and fix him. And, you know,
and no, it literally follows the suit of, why does he hate me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can fix him, all that stuff. Like, you know, and it's like, yeah, I've seen people do that before. And it's like, yeah, they definitely had a touch on, you know, what a teenage girl was going through sometimes in relationships.
And I think the coolest part about it, it was definitely a will they won't they situation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a will they won't they get back together. It's a will they won't they kill each other.
Yeah.
Which
Who's
was a
die?
Nice flip on it. You know, and eventually, you know, things work out.
Yeah.
And he gets sent to hell.
Right. Yeah. Well, a dimension.
A hell
a dark
dimension.
Yeah.
So
because he's trying to wake a demon called Dathan or something like that. And if that demon wakes up, all of Earth would be sucked into that dimension of, you know, torture and pain and that like they do.
So, No, I mean, that was good. Season three was great.
Yeah.
It was senior
year. The introduction
year.
Of another Slayer.
Well, but more importantly, the introduction of a werewolf.
Yeah.
Because you got Seth Green in arguably his best role.
Yeah.
As Oz. You don't think so?
I think Can't Hardly Wake's probably one of his better roles.
But I'm talking about just in sheer like volume of like how much time he had to be the character.
Right.
And
yeah.
Oz was so cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he was in the band. He was all like chill and laid back.
Right. Yeah.
It was like he was. Remember Airborne?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was the nerdy cousin from Cincinnati.
Right.
Like he was the long haired kid, like laid back, cool. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like he graduated to that. I always thought that that's what like Oz was, that kid grown up kind of a thing,
okay,
and
okay.
like adopted
cut
his cousin's
hair
mentality.
And,
yeah,
yeah. Became his cousin.
Yeah. And then became a werewolf.
Right.
So. But no, the other Slayer that you're talking about is Elijah Dushku, Faith.
Yeah.
Who was a brutal Slayer.
Yeah.
Now, you want to talk about someone who's physically strong.
Well, didn't they have her backstory was that she watched her watcher be killed
by a vampire.
So she was just straight up like, you know, I'm just taking everybody out.
You stick them with the pointy end.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Five by five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she eventually kills a human.
Yeah. The assistant mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the mayor, probably after Adam and Angel, the mayor. Oh, no, man. I don't know. Because Glory was a great villain, too. The mayor's out there, though. The mayor was a good villain because he was so wholesome.
Well, I think that the villains are all like, you know, top shelf villains.
Yeah.
Because they all had their like really weird quirks about them. Yeah, he was wholesome.
He was so wholesome.
He didn't want people to be like bad. He didn't like blood getting on stuff.
Everything had to be clean, neat.
And his office was like perfect.
There was a place for everything, and everything had its place.
Yeah,
you know?
And he had a plan for the city.
Yeah,
and it was a very dark plan.
He just wanted to turn into a giant snake.
You know? And just kill everybody.
Yeah, but No, season three was good. One of the standout ones was Band Candy.
Yeah.
Where the adults
became the kids, pretty
you
much.
Know, devolved to being
where
teenagers.
Giles
and Buffy's mom hook up. So
yeah,
that was great. Another great season three one was Doppelgangland, where they
then you have to talk about the reason that episode happens.
So Willow becomes a witch, or.
Where Xander and Willow kiss, and Xander had been dating Cordelia.
Right.
And Cordelia wishes. Wish. Yeah. It's an episode called The Wish. And Cordelia wishes that Buffy had never come to town and all that. And she's granted the wish by Anyanka, who eventually becomes a regular character, Anya.
Buffy, instead of coming to the Hellmouth in Sunnydale, goes to the Hellmouth in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But
the master like had opened the hell mouth and had risen and turned Willow and Xander to vampires.
That's right. They were vampires.
Angel was locked in the basement of the Bronze and was being tortured. And the only people that were fighting vampires were Oz. And I can't remember the guy's name, that he was like a semi regular character up until
it was Danny Strong, right?
No. This was a bigger guy.
The big hulking dude. Yeah. No, but the best thing that came out of this was bored now.
Yeah.
Like she would just like, oh God, it was one of the things that like I will always remember Allison Hannigan for.
Yeah.
You know, there's
vampire.
That like the flute thing, you know, from American Pie and some of the stuff on How I Met Your Mother, but the way she would just tilt
her
head
the bored now
and
thing.
Say bored now. It's like, oh, that was just
so then later in the season there when she's learning, when Willow in the regular universe is learning how to become a witch, they cast a spell and she pulls, at the moment that she dies in that universe, she pulls her vampire self over into the regular universe. And, you know, craziness ensues, Parent Trap style.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have the wish on here.
Yeah.
I liked the wish, but like just Doppelgangland.
Because I like the mirror universe type stuff. So
definitely.
It's like,
and that's why I like that. But yeah, let's see what else you have.
The wish was just so dark and everybody died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was like, even Buffy dies at the end of that episode. So it's like, you know, it was just a fun episode for that.
And we got introduced
and bringing,
to
Anya.
Anya. And what was her demon?
She was just a...
It was a luck demon or something?
No,
like
she was
that,
a wish demon.
Yeah, but
yeah, she was.
She would, the witch.
Because women would, you know.
Oh,
because
the scorned women. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Which was fantastic. All right. So then the graduation was, you know, another high school getting destroyed at Buffy's hands.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You had the principal, Armin
Shimmerman,
getting eaten.
Yeah, which, he had been like
which
kind
was
of
just
a
some justice
background
right
villain. And he's like, at the end of it, when the mayor turns to Snake and he's like, I'm not having this on my campus. And the mayor just eats him. Ow. Yep.
So, but no, graduation day was a good one because it was the end of that storyline because Angel was leaving Sunnydale.
Well, Angel was leaving. They had dealt with Faith because mm-hmm. Faith had gone bad.
And Faith, well, when she killed the assistant mayor, she
just went down a dark path and had pretty much started working for the mayor and Mr. Trick. And had gone bad. And then, like, Buffy dealt with her, and then they dealt with the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, it was Angel leaving and going to his own TV series.
Yep, off to the... Off to
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Which, when you think for a vampire going to some place where it's that sunny, it's probably not a smart idea.
It's still dark at night.
Well, yeah. Anyway. But no,
vampires run on a different schedule from a regular human being.
But no, season three was a good one.
Yeah.
Season four, kind of, they had to refine their footing.
Yeah, well, it was the whole thing that, and I know that, like, he explained that it was that, you know, when you go to college, things are jumbled up, and it's the first part of that season is really jumbled up.
And, like, all of a sudden, Sunnydale has a college. Cause
it,
like,
did the whole time.
Well, because, like, Willow was talking about going to, like, Stanford.
Look how big that city actually was in some of those episodes, and it's like, Sunnydale was a pretty big city, and it's on an ocean, and it's like, huh, yeah, it would make sense that they had a college. It's just, you know, it's the same thing that...
Yeah.
If you think about it, when you're in high school, you're not really looking at college.
Which is the beauty of it.
Unless,
like,
you go to high school right across the street from a college.
You just got the bigger world.
Right.
But no, it was just funny. It's just like it was like Sunnydale was the room of requirements from Harry Potter. Whatever they needed to be there was there.
Yeah.
Need a magic shop? Done. Need a radio tower? Done. Need, you know,
totally
a
makes
college.
Sense.
Yeah. Which is fine, you know. But no, season four introduced, like we talked about earlier, the Initiative. Another great human character, with Riley Finn,
right?
Played by Mark Blucas, who was great in that role. And I always get, like, excited when I see him and stuff because you know, I liked Riley.
Yeah.
The scenes where, like, Angel,
I liked season four Riley. I didn't like season five Riley.
No. But when, like, Angel came back for an episode. And, like, him and Riley kind of squaring off.
Yeah,
was
the
great.
Whole, yeah.
Because Buffy had to go to.
That was my girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, because Buffy was like, oh, I have to go to Los Angeles just all of a sudden.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, well, wait, where are you going? And it's like, well, Angel's ratings need
help.
Well,
there's
a
new show on, and I got a crossover, so we make sure that people know that this is a show that ties to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yep. But, yeah. So we learned about the Initiative. Spike gets a chip in his head that doesn't let him hurt people, so he can't suck blood anymore. No violence at all, which is great. Which lasts for a good long while.
Right, yeah.
He
had that chip up through season five.
Yeah, and then you had Hush, which is an episode that won an Emmy for the show.
Oh, that's probably the best episode. Of a series
where everyone loses the ability to talk.
Everybody,
and
you
have
know, everybody
the,
has their best episode.
What are
of
they?
Series.
The Gentleman. That was their name. Right?
Yeah, the Gentleman.
Yeah. That show is some of the finest television ever.
It's some of the best physical comedy in a modern story. That, like, some of the stuff that happens when they're talking about how to deal with the Gentleman.
Right.
Has, like, I still laugh at that scene even though I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's probably one of the best episodes of this series. It's on my top 10.
Yeah. It's on mine as well. And then you had Faith, who was in a coma. She got out of it.
Yeah, she runs. You know,
she disappears.
She switches bodies with
Buffy
at one point,
which was great. The Halloween episode. So the way they handled Halloween on this show was great. It was the only night of the year that demons took the night off.
Yeah.
Yet it was always the worst night of the year for Buffy.
Well, it was always like the craziest crap happened.
Like they went to the frat house that was haunted. And,
yeah. You know. Well, and like the actually I put Halloween from the second season as one of my favorite episodes is the one where it's not a demon. It's just an old friend of Giles who's a magician.
Right.
Curses the costumes at the store that he opened up and they become what the costume is. Right. So like Buffy becomes a Southern Belle. And Willow becomes a ghost and Xander becomes a soldier. And it's like just some of the funnest things because the interactions between them and the villains, like Spike decides he's going to go out and try and kill Buffy during that episode. And it's not Buffy. And he's like, what's going on?
So I just got a text from Angel, my wife.
Yeah.
She says, if you say Spike was her soulmate, I will punch you. I will throat punch you. So she... anyway,
No, I disagreed with that storyline too. So
anyway, I liked a teaser on that one.
Yeah.
So, the way they handled Halloween was good. Season four, again, it was a fun season. It had some,
that was the growing up season. Yeah. I mean, literally was the growing up season. So,
and then you get to season five and you know, the proverbial shit hits the fan.
Well, we got to introduce a young character because they're all starting to get old.
Yeah. So you have a new Buffy all of a
they're
sudden.
They're not even that old. I mean, they were like in their
sophomore
year.
Yeah. They're still 19.
College, yeah. The Buffy, actors were getting old and you could see that on a few of them.
But Buffy gets a sister.
Yeah.
And her name is Dawn.
Yep.
And she wasn't a real girl at first.
Well, yeah. The first episode, it was like, you know, all of a sudden she shows up at the end of the first episode.
Yeah. And they all have memories of her and, you know, like Joyce remembers her and all that fun stuff.
This is the downfall of Joyce.
Well,
yeah,
we'll get to that because that's on my list. Oh, it's on yours as well. But no, season five is them balancing their lives.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're working, they're going to school, they're slaying, they're raising Dawn as a team.
Right.
Tara comes into the picture.
Yeah, she had been introduced in season four.
But I mean, like Tara's really...
The thing that happens, and it's, you know, a season finale where I don't think, like, people really acknowledge it as a good episode. Mm-hmm. But the season four finale, they had beat Adam because they had all joined together. And
yeah, well, they beat Adam in the penultimate one.
Well, they all join like power.
Right. Yeah.
They give their powers to Buffy and turn Buffy into Uber Slayer. And that,
Super
and then
Slayer.
Then she beats him, and the next episode is the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally, we're just going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And they all fall asleep. And it's a dream episode. Mm-hmm. But the dream episode gives you an idea of what's coming.
Right.
And that, and also shows you the first Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much like that finale is pretty much like telling you that Willow is going to be in a relationship with Tara.
Tara, yeah.
That she has fallen in love with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like her whole dream sequences, they don't really know who you are.
Right.
They don't see who you are. Mm-hmm. And then Xander, because all their dreams are leaking into each other because they were joined, Xander sees Tara and Willow making out in the back of the ice cream truck he's been working in.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just looking like, is this real? And you're like, yeah, it's coming to, you know, going to be something. So, yeah, it turns into something in season five and they actually become lovers. And it's just an interesting ride to see what happens to them and what Glory does to them.
And so Glory is one of the more interesting villains.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Two people play Glory. There's Ben, who's the handsome hospital orderly who Buffy
is talking to. Yeah.
Is getting on with, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole thing where Riley's still around during the first half of the season. And
but then
he had been pumped full of drugs by the initiative and by the next season he's losing his power because he had like a strength beyond a normal human,
right?
And he becomes addicted to vampires feeding off of him.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually he just leaves.
Yeah.
And that she find Buffy finds out that he's been doing this and breaks up with him. And it's just like,
yeah, she's
like,
appalled. She's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
So, cause he's going to that like flop house that was full of vampire hooers.
Yeah.
But no, and then Ben's comes
been,
along.
Yeah. Ben's been in the mix, and it's like, I think Ben helps Dawn, mm-hmm. and that's how Buffy meets Ben. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like cute guy talking to him. And then you find out that he's also Glorificus.
But you don't like they set you up to really like him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was the thing. And it's like, man, this guy would be so good for Buffy. He'd be a nice dose of like normal life.
Yeah.
But wait, there's something off.
There's
about
always
him.
Something off about you know? Somebody in the show. And,
well, there's always something off about a man that Buffy's attracted to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just she has the worst taste in men.
That's why your dad only showed up in one episode. Yeah,
other than Spike.
Yeah. We're going to go there. So, yeah.
But
she really liked that William the Bloody guy.
She did like William the Bloody because he was bloody bad at poetry.
Yeah.
But no, so you have Glory. And Gloria is another very vicious.
She's the flip. What I always looked at her is she's the flip side of Buffy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the cheerleader, the cheerleader attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and she didn't give a damn.
No.
She just, you know, pretty much, you know, she'd walk in a room and all her little minions would just be down on the ground, mm-hmm. like kissing her feet and everything. And it's like,
well, she thrived on that.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, you know.
Yeah, like because she was like more of an ego. That. Yeah. Ego-driven creature and that. And, I mean, you know, like, she was... The whole season, she was looking for the key. And, you know, they were giving clues that who the key was and everything, mm-hmm. like, the whole season. And then, by the end, it was Buffy had to sacrifice herself to save the key, who turned out to be her sister.
Right.
And that, by destroying, you know, Glory, she had to, you know, die.
Right.
And she does.
Yeah. Claire Kramer... Did a great job as Glory, and she was so hot. So Buffy had to die, but like before she even got to that, right?
Yeah.
Like you have Glory who's attacking her on the home front.
Yeah.
Which most of the demons don't do. And then you get to the episode The Body.
Yeah.
Which was what was it? Where'd it go? Oh, did I close that? No, I didn't.
It's like the middle of the Joyce was having issues with a brain tumor of some sort, and that's kind of where Ben was coming into the interaction with the Summers family, because Joyce was in the hospital a lot during this season. They couldn't really explain what was going on with her, like medically it wasn't being explained, and you know, kind of figured it had something to do with the key and with Glory and all that.
But no, it turns out she died of an aneurysm.
Yeah, she just...
And just...
Yeah.
She was sitting
on
the couch.
She died naturally, pretty much.
She was basically sitting down, and then you see her...
Yeah.
And then Buffy comes home, and it's the whole thing of her sitting with the body waiting for the coroner to get there. And, you know, it is a... Like, Sarah Michelle Gellar should have won some awards for this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, you just felt how heartbroken she was, and... You know, how angry she was because she didn't know what killed her. And she was assuming it was Glory, but she couldn't leave because she had a responsibility.
Right. She had a responsibility to herself and to Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Who she thought was her sister still at that point.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but that episode still shows that she has to do her job, because at the end of it, she has to slay a vampire in the mortuary.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, back to the battle.
Yeah.
And that it's like pretty much just one episode, and then the next episode is her grieving a little bit. But, you know, Angel comes back and, you know, apologizes for not being at the funeral or at the burial and all that.
Right.
And, you know, sorry that he didn't come soon enough. And that it puts Buffy on a darker path.
I mean, it leads to, like, I don't know if she would have been able to make that sacrifice.
Yeah.
Without Joyce dying.
Yeah.
Like, I think there would have been a moment of hesitation that, you know, because she wasn't, at that point, she wasn't fully selfless. Like, she was in the last season.
With Joyce dying, she became the mother.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally was the mother of the group at that point.
So then.
Because she always fell back on Joyce when she needed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When she needed a hug, it's like she had her mom there to give her a hug. But when Joyce died, it's like she had to be strong for everybody.
Yeah.
And because at that point, every one of them. Joyce was their mom.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that just like Giles was their dad, Joyce was their mom. And even though they all had families and that
we never
seen,
got to see really other than in season one,
but not on a normal basis. And so, yeah, I just think that, you know, that's the way it went.
Yeah. But, you know, and then, you know, everything that happened in the gift, there was the final battle. She dove through the portal to close it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. That was Buffy. There was no more.
Wasn't there?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was two more seasons.
Yeah, so then it went back on for, so it went from WB to UPN at that point.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah. I don't know, man. Like
how much of that did you watch?
I've seen it all. Did you watch it all? I own it.
Oh, okay.
I own all of it.
I didn't know if you actually had watched
it. No, and I've watched it repeatedly trying to like it.
Okay.
And it's not that it's bad. I think it's just
season six is bad. Season six shouldn't have even happened.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
That was the trio. That was the evil trio. The only one that's a good episode in there is Once More with Feeling.
There's two. Tabula Rasa,
which is where
Willow is messing with Tara's memory. And then Tara catches her.
Yeah. Which is right before Once More with Feeling.
And then Once More with Feeling comes from that.
Yeah.
And then the finale where Willow goes Dark Witch.
Well, yeah, that's probably like, you know, that I wouldn't even call that like, I have three season finales on my list.
Yeah. Well,
this
show did
one.
Season finales fantastic.
Well, yeah, Joss wrote those episodes and it was his show. So it's like, you know, you save the best for last.
But
and he directed them too.
The whole magic in this show,
yeah,
where it was addictive, it was a drug,
it's a corrupting, you know, element. I mean,
but like that didn't carry over to Angel.
Yeah, there wasn't a magician on that show though.
Oh, Wesley. But
no, Wesley was a watcher who wasn't a watcher anymore.
Anyway,
he just knew magic, but he wasn't like a magician. Yeah.
But
like the way they wrote Giles was that before Giles became a watcher, Giles was messing around with
dark
magic.
Arts, yeah.
And that's where, you know, his friend, I forget his name.
Yeah.
And that the actors passed away in that. But I, you know, I remember him showing up for a couple episodes and, you know, you get an idea that Giles did some bad stuff when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And which is the easier explanation of why he understands them so well.
Yeah. But
and
then
that,
you
but
had
yeah,
the,
Wesley was more staunch and proper and had been raised. He was going to be a watcher.
He went through Watcher
and
Academy.
You have to learn magic as part of that.
But no, and then there was what was his name? Ranks or Rakor or the magic dealer?
Oh, Rank.
Rank, yeah. Who was played by
Jeff Kober,
who was awesome. I love that guy.
He was on that show twice as two different characters. So yeah.
But you know, season six, the musical was great.
Yeah.
It was just fun. Allison Hannigan cannot sing.
She
it was purposeful. Like, you know, I mean, she can't sing, so they handled it great. It's like when Scrubs did their musical episode and Sarah Chalk has an even worse voice.
Oh, okay.
And like, you know, they played on that and they played on that
like
well here.
With that episode, I remember the commercials that they were running before, like the beginning of that season, they were running commercials for the musical. And she literally said, she goes, I won't be doing much singing in this episode because I don't have a singing voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but, you know, the parts that she was good in that episode, in the Once More with Feeling episode, was the emotional stuff that she had to deal with. Because when they find out about what Buffy really happened to her when she died and they brought her back,
she
went to heaven.
Back. Yeah.
She literally went to heaven and she was in heaven and then they brought her back into the crap that she had to deal with.
So now she's in hell.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, that's where the whole Spike and Buffy relationship came from. And it was just, she was not herself.
So like you say season six was bad. Like I feel like season seven was worse.
I don't really.
And part of the reason is Firefly was on when season six was on.
Yeah.
Firefly was mercifully killed, and then they took and they shoehorned all of those actors into Buffy and Angel. Now,
not all of them.
They did.
No.
The only one who wasn't was Alan Tudyk and Ron Glass.
Jules Tatee.
She wasn't.
Ron Glass.
Didn't Marina
Simon was not in there.
Okay. Well.
Marina Baccarin was not
in there. Okay, I was wrong.
The only ones that showed up was... But on Angel, you had Adam Baldwin show up eventually. But that was like 2 years after Firefly. He was in the last season.
Yeah. And then you had Gina Torres.
Yeah, Gina Torres show up.
Immediately
and
after.
And you had Nathan Fillion show up in the as one of the first disciples.
Right.
And that, which he was awesome. Like, he played a really good bad guy,
I liked him. I liked him in that. But yeah. I'm just saying, like,
takes one of Xander's eyes out.
Oh, he's the one that sees things.
Yeah.
But, no, I just... it was that.
Without season seven, you wouldn't have Felicia Day, because that's one of the first things she appeared in.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had an army of slayers.
So that, I guess that was the other thing, is they had, like, they were collecting all the proto slayers.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Because the first was killing everybody.
Right. And it's like, she just didn't want to be there. You know, like, I felt like, there should have been a white tarp with "I assure you we're open" taped to her garage,
yeah.
And her walking around all day going, "I'm not even supposed to be here today."
Well, because she literally, at that point, she was tired.
Yeah,
you know, it's like everything that happened with Willow going dark because of Tara dying and all that, and then just dealing with being a mom. You know,
the.
She didn't want to be a mom to more than just her sister. And that's what she literally, Giles was forcing her to be.
Well, because he disappeared.
A mother. Like, well, he was trying to find other potentials.
Now, the thing is.
And then Faith's showing back up.
The best thing that came out of season seven was the Scythe.
Yeah.
And the comic book Prey.
Frey.
That's what I meant. Was Frey.
Well, yeah, because the Scythe shows up in Frey before it ever shows up on Buffy.
Frey is one of, like. One of the best comics, one of the most underrated comics Dark Horse has ever put out.
Yeah.
If you haven't read it, it's on the Dark Horse app. I think it might even be on Comixology at this
Josh
point.
Josh Whedon wrote it.
Yeah. I forget the artist.
Carl Moline, I think, is the artist.
It is beautiful.
I forget
it's
who
an
the,
awesome story.
Inker is.
It's Malaka Frey, or however you say it. Is it Michaela Frey?
Yeah, Michaela Frey.
Who is... She was a twin, and she got all the Slayer strength, and her twin brother got all the Slayer memories.
Right.
And vampires and demons haven't existed because Buffy chased them all off.
Right. Yeah. Literally. Then, they don't say it's Buffy. They just show blonde-headed Slayer pushing everything into a void and pretty much getting dragged in with
it. And going after it. Yeah. And then he brings that stuff back.
Right.
And she
He gets turned into a vampire.
I think he gets himself turned
It seemed like vampires were still existing in the universe, but they weren't as powerful as they were. Yeah. So,
but that was another one where they had the Uber vamps.
Yeah.
You know, that all looked like Nosferatu.
Right.
Just kind of like, you know, the homage was great. Like the intent of what they were.
Yeah.
Was good. But I think, you know, having something where it's indestructible and then all of a sudden, you know, even potential slayers can take it down.
Well, it was whole thing where Buffy does show them that you can beat these creatures. Well, the Turok Han is what they were called.
And she takes that moment down in the pit where she just jumps in with the
Thunderdome.
It definitely does Thunderdome style. Where she jumps in with a one and, you know, is very reminiscent of the scene from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Where, like, I half expected her at one point to be, or Dark Knight Returns, where the comic, where I half expect her at one point to be like, "You think this is a pit? This is an operating table." And, you know, it was very, very reminiscent of that.
Well, then she more just says, "Welcome to the Thunderdome." And Andrew's like, "Two men enter, one man leaves." Yeah. And it's like, and it literally is. It's because she's trying to teach those potentials, because they've already watched their numbers be, you know, driven down by these Turok Hans. She's showing them you can beat these things.
Yeah.
And that, but it's one of those things where it's also, well, you're the Slayer. You have the power. We don't have the power.
Yeah.
So by the end, they realize what they need to do is give every potential the power of the Slayer,
which the Scythe allows them to do.
Yeah. And Willow.
Magic.
Yeah. Willow becomes the white Willow.
She goes
instead
white
of
witch.
The black Willow. Yeah.
So,
and,
so instead of saying bored now, she's like, so much fun.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That didn't happen.
But literally, by the end of that episode, it has one of the best fight scenes in an episode. Like, they're literally down in the pits underneath Sunnydale High, and they're fighting all these Turok Hans.
Yeah, the finale.
And they're fighting the first, really.
The fight in the finale was good.
Yeah.
you know.
I don't think you can literally beat the first evil, but you can make the first evil weak.
Yeah.
And that's what she pretty much did.
You know, there, the one good thing, or not one, there were a couple good things about the season series finale, but like, not everyone got out unscathed.
No. Anya dies.
Anya dies.
Spike dies.
Yeah.
Spike dies.
Yeah.
I mean, he does die.
Yeah. I know.
And that, but he's giving a gift from Wolferman Hart because Angel brings him something.
Well, we'll get to that in Angel.
Well, we'll get to it in Angel, but Angel comes back at, you know, because it is the season is ending and you know, you have to acknowledge everything. Angel does come back. Mm-hmm. He helps Buffy at one point.
Yeah.
Like the second to last episode, and he gives her something and says, "When Spike's fighting, give him this."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Okay." And
because it needs a vampire with a soul,
right?
Because Spike went and got his soul in season six. Right. We forgot to mention that.
Well, yeah, he goes to Africa and gets a soul, and that because he thinks that's what's going to make Buffy love him.
Well, it's why they're soulmates.
Well, no, they're not soulmates. Neither are Angel and Buffy. Aren't soulmates either. Buffy isn't meant to have a soulmate because Buffy isn't meant to have a family.
Her soulmate is Mr. Pointy.
Oh, there you go. Which was given to her by Kendra.
It's who she is able to kill the most vamps with.
But I think that the whole thing that we didn't talk about and they acknowledged throughout the show is the reason why she's a stronger slayer than any slayer that's exist is because she has friends.
Yeah.
And it's like no slayer before her had friends. They had a watcher and that's all they had. And even Spike says it. It's like you wouldn't win a fight if you didn't have your friends.
Right.
And he pretty much gives that to her, and not in those words, but it's pretty much that thing. Because Spike had already killed two Slayers.
Yeah.
And he knew that, you know, you can beat a Slayer easily.
Spike was the vampire Slayer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun to say.
William the Bloody. But yeah, I think that like by the end, you know, they all do their duty in fighting and getting things done. And then Sunnydale falls.
Yeah.
And that's the literally way it should be.
Into the pit. They falls into the Hellmouth.
Yeah. The Hellmouth is destroyed and, you know, the first is weakened and pretty much laid down. And Buffy is done for a while.
Yeah.
Like literally the end of the episode is what are we going to do next? And it just shows her smile and, you know, it's like, okay,
she's
get to take a break.
Standing over the rubble of the Hellmouth.
And, well, because she had been through so much the last two seasons.
Three.
The whole series, but the last, like coming back from the dead and dealing with all the
from
stuff
from her
she
mom
had
dying.
Well, yeah, just the mom dying and that. But, like, doing the whole thing of, you know, she was happy. In heaven, she was happy. And then coming back and having to deal with everything she had to deal with. And it's like, I think she gets a moment of happiness at the end because it's like, you know, we finally are able to rest for a minute. Yeah. And then it goes into season eight, the comic book series.
Yeah. And in the comics, I kept up with them for a while and just kind
of
got.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think that those are easier to read as a collected as trades and that.
Yeah.
First season that's a comic.
But they
the crossover.
They basically turned Xander into Nick Fury, literally with the patch and that. Like
and
he's in the center of the he's in the command center and all.
He's
that
the military.
Stuff.
Well, yeah. Because the military. That's the thing that was cool is like because of the Halloween episode where he had become a military thing. It had stuck in his head, and it's like you know, dude, why didn't they use that when the initiative was there and that. And you know,
yeah,
we got
they
we
tried,
got. Yeah,
but anyway,
on a whole, this is a great series.
I agree,
yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily, I wouldn't put it in my top 10 anymore,
yeah.
There's other things that have come up and replaced it, or I've since discovered from before,
but do you think that like a lot of the stuff we have now on TV, if we didn't have Buffy, we wouldn't have the stuff we would have now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like Smallville pretty much stole from Buffy during the first season with the Creature of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then became its own thing.
If you
Supernatural
look at Supernatural would not be a show. Buffy the Vampire Slayer hadn't been so popular.
Because there's been Supernatural comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I really would like to see somebody do a Buffy Supernatural crossover.
Yeah, why not?
I think it would be a fun story to see.
Dark Horse has the Buffy. I don't know who has Supernatural.
I think it's
it might be IDW.
DC.
Oh, it is DC.
Has Supernatural.
There you go. DC and Dark Horse will work together.
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things where I think it would be cool to see
what
kind
script.
Of story
send it over.
They would do.
They have a new director of
if
PR.
Josh would be the one to be like, yes.
So
Josh is kind of like George Lucas when it comes to Buffy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, he's more protective of it, and he's not going to go back and ruin it.
Right. Sure.
All right. Well, on that note, any last words?
No. I pretty much said what I had to say about Buffy.
All right. So if you guys haven't seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's on Netflix. It's on Hulu.
It's on Amazon. Hulu, it's on Amazon. Netflix. It's on everything.
It's definitely worth watching. On our website and in the show notes, we have our top 10 list in no particular order. Johnny's are Becoming, Season 2, Episodes 21 and 22. Chosen, Season 7, Episode 22, which is the series finale. Graduation Day, Season 3, Episodes 21 and 22. Halloween, Season 2, Number 6. Hush, Season 4, Number 10. Once More with Feeling, which is the musical episode.
Yep.
Consequently enough, when the kid bought 07 was the baby bought 07. And she was like not feeling well or had an ear infection.
Mm-hmm.
You could put that music on or even just the episode and it would get her to stop crying.
Huh.
So it's pretty funny. Prophecy Girl, which is the season finale of season 1. Restless, which is the season finale of season 4.
Yeah, literally it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Body, which is season 5, episode 16. And then The Wish, season 3, episode
I really
9.
Like that episode, but I can't watch it. The Body?
Yeah.
I really like it, but I can't watch it.
It's tough.
Well, because it has not my parents, but I had a grandparent that kind of, you know, lived with us and that kind of thing. Mm. Yeah, I felt more when I watched that episode than I should.
Yeah.
And thanks, John.
And then for me, I have Prophecy Girl. I have Passion, Season 2, Episode 17, which is my favorite episode of the series.
That's in my top 20.
Yeah.
Not my top 10.
Faith, Hope, and Tricks, which is the first one where we meet Faith.
And Mr. Trick.
Yep, and Mr. Trick. Band Candy, Doppelgangland, The Initiative, and then I have Hush, The Body, The Gift, and Once More with Feeling.
Yeah.
So we
have the show notes.
I was surprised we had so much crossover, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just the thing you said, like the show like built to the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, yeah, I had favorite episodes, but I'm going back looking at them going, that's not like one that I would put in my top 10.
Sure.
Yeah. I like literally was going through like, oh, this is in my top 20.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, yeah, that's not in my top 10.
Yeah. All right. And if you guys are getting comics this week, make sure you check out Walking Dead 159. Something awesome happens in it.
I haven't read it yet.
Anyway. All right. So we are the Infamous Podcast. We have new episodes every Friday. Don't miss out. Infamous Podcast.
Okay.
Did I say it wrong?
So fast that it didn't sound like Infamous
Podcast. We're the Infamous Podcast.
We are the Infamous Podcast.
When do we have new episodes?
We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. We have a website. Infamouspodcast.com. Brian can be found on pretty much every internet thing. And he's Brian Tudor at where
everything.
Are you at?
Yeah. On Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat.
He's not a magician.
I am.
But I know the dark arts because I am part of House Slytherin.
You are. I was disappointed, man. I was Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Anyway.
You can't all be awesome like me.
Anyway.
I'm at Johnny Podorf on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also on Facebook.
Yep.
Do not Facebook stalk me. I am part of Slytherin. I will Facebook stalk you.
All right, guys. We will see you next Friday. Have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is that you're listening to this. And
later.
Go back and watch more Buffy.